So I'm reading from Romans chapter 13, 8 to 14, New Living Translation. And it says, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Verse 11. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. And it reads, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut off. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Well, there's about four cups under here. I'll get the right one. Anyway, it's good water. Well, welcome. If you haven't realised it today, this morning is Christians Against Poverty Cap Sunday. If you haven't noticed that, you better wake up. Anyway, there we go. For those who don't know, my name's Kevin. I'm the current debt centre manager of the Burngreave Debt Centre. There's two in Sheffield. The other one's managed by a lady called Jane. Going down there tomorrow. We've got a meeting with someone from our headquarters in Bradford. So, I'm a civil engineer and a railway enthusiast. Some of you know that. A dad, a granddad, and of course, husband. If my wife sat here, I have to add that. So, as an engineer, one of my past road projects was in Crewe, which is an interesting place for engineering and railway enthusiasts. Anyway, there we go. And Chris, my assistant, and I couldn't understand the survey that we'd been given on this road. We was trying to widen it, improve it, and was going to resurface it, so no potholes or anything like that. And what we found is that it varied in thickness as it went along the road. You know, it was thick and thin and thick, and we thought, well, what's going on here? It shouldn't be like that. It should be consistent. And we studied some records of when they'd last done it. And I think it was only 10 years ago. It should have lasted more than that, but obviously wasn't. And we found that there was a visiting clerk of works inspector, right? So when the inspector was on site, it was thick. And when he was somewhere else, it was thin. And so they'd basically done a shoddy bit of work, and we was trying to sort it out as well as improving it. But I'm just going to go on another topic now, just to keep that in mind, that thought. I'm undertaking a Bible study on debt and justice, and the two are linked. And sometimes in the Bible, there's lots of stories about debt and justice. And most stories and references in the Bible do not attach any moral right or wrong. So it just says it's there. And there's a story in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4. We have this story of Elijah and the widow's oil. And a widow was in trouble. She was in debt because her husband was the earner. And she had two children. And the creditors, unlike in Sheffield, it seems, were going to take their two children off as slaves to pay off the debt. And so the widow, and obviously the children, I guess, were a bit worried about that. And she went to find the prophet. And he told her to get some oil jars and pour in the oil into all the oil jars she got from the neighbour. And each one filled up. And then she went back to the prophet Elijah and he said, well, sell the oil because there is a bit of a famine going on. So the neighbours brought the oil and she paid off her debt and the family was whole again, not under threat. And I'm sure, like many people that Amy and I and our team are meeting, she was not sleeping, perhaps. She was in stress, but because of her faith and the obedience to the prophet, and he was listening to God, it was all right. They worked out. A bit like the lady we saw this morning, you know, that there was a journey in her life, and we was involved in it, and you were involved in it. All your precious brothers and sisters out here are involved in what we do here. However, some of the people have different challenges that we meet. In the last few weeks, we've met a single mum with eight children, a man with severe health issues, a recent widow, actually, whose husband was a local railway worker. A family from Israel or Palestine. We're having an interesting discussion with our atlases, whether it's they're from Palestine or Israel. Still friends. a businessman who we're helping with his personal finances. And the lady who's on suicide watch, really got stressed out. I think this year, I think, right, Amy, she'll correct us, that I know of at least three of our clients who've had serious attempts at suicide before we visited. So this stuff is real to our clients. We also meet and help other people rather than official CAP clients go through the system that we have. We meet through the food bank, through Lighthouse. We're helping people fill in the forms, sometimes council forms or universal credit forms or interviews. And also county court judgment forms sometimes. They're quite interesting. And recently, in a local community centre, while waiting for our CAP client to come along, I was talking to an elderly Muslim gentleman. And we were talking about how he saw Jesus and what the Bible and the Holy Spirit tells us about Jesus. So we're going to meet him again for coffee and going to help him fill in a council form, because they were harassing him about some past debt. Also made contact with a young man, actually, who we're trying to help with the council get home. But he's currently sleeping in a car with his baby daughter. So some serious stuff going on here. And through meeting these people, we go to houses, or sometimes they come to the office here. We've got other offices that I can use. Got one by the cathedral, one up in Furvale, and two in Darnell that we can use if people don't want to meet in their home. So why do we do this work? It's not just to serve the people we meet. We want to see transformation, a bit like Lamenta, where she got hold of Jesus, got hold of hope, and her whole countenance and life has been transformed. And as you can see, she's very happy. And I'm glad she's praying for us, actually. That's quite good, actually. But there are three types of debt that we're going to have a look at this morning. And in them lies the answer of why we do what we do. Okay? So from our scriptures, one's obvious, the debt of finances. And sometimes we owe others money or goods or credit. That's an interesting word. My dad, who's since passed away 11 years ago, once told me, and he was wagging his finger, I think, do not get a credit card because they've named it wrong. It's a debt card. And of course, later on, I ignored him and got a credit card. because we was going abroad, going to Amsterdam, wasn't it? So if something went wrong with our car, because I always have ropey cars, I wanted to get the family back. But then we didn't actually use it abroad, just stuck in my pocket. But later on, I misused it and got a bit of a bill. And so what we did, we put it in our freezer in an ice block and took 2 years to pay it off. But anyway, it's since we did frosted it after a while, didn't we? So often, our circumstances change. A lot of our clients, in fact, I would say most of them, have got into debt or problems because of external things, health issues, or partners dying, or being made redundant, or change of jobs, or whatever. And it's just that we live up to what our means are, and then something changes. And it's not too long before people get in debt, and then it's not too long before they get sleepless nights and losing hope. And isolating is often because debt, somehow or other, brings shame. And that's not good. So the second type of debt, as the Apostle Paul outlines in this morning's reading in Romans, is the debt to love each other, okay? So we see this in our times together here, in growth groups, social outreach ministries, and in our individual families. We need to love each other, don't we? And love is the key to communities and fulfilling the law. So owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves has fulfilled the law. Okay. However, as a group of people who know the love of God, we also include the sharing of our faith with others. Jesus Christ is the true answer. He's the good shepherd and looks after us and gives us the abundant life. And that's what Lamenter found, wasn't it? And as our good shepherd, he is present and participates in our lives. And he perseveres with grace and mercy. I need a lot of that. Yes, Sarah knows. Anyway, and for this time of grace, we'll be in this season of grace. And Jesus is going to come back again. So his time is short. So King Jesus is present and the good shepherd. And he keeps us safe. And God never leaves us or forsakes us. And the Lord keeps you and me away from harm over our lives. That comes from Psalms. And our love for the CAP clients and the families can reflect this. And we pray with them and for them. It's like the widow I met this week. Her cat sat on my paperwork, which is quite interesting. And she said, he never does that. He doesn't like visitors. And she told us stuff that she's never told anyone else. And she accepted the prayer because she saw the peace that we brought with the Holy Spirit into her home. That's what I believe. And as we can, like Amy has suggested, we also offer practical help. This is on an ad hoc basis, not advertised, so don't go telling people we can do this stuff. Otherwise, John and I will be quite busy. Anyway, we've fixed windows, we've fixed kitchen cupboards, we've painted bedrooms, we found and delivered items such as white goods, clothes, baby items, and furniture. One of our clients was going to offer us a cup of tea, but she said she only got one chair. So we got a brand new settee from someone who lived just up the road, actually, in Darnell. And they brought a settee and it didn't fit. So we snaffled it off and gave it to the lady. It's about who you know sometimes, about as well as what you know, isn't it? We also invite our clients to events where they may find faith in Jesus Christ. Some already have it, but there we go. But it's got lost somewhere or other. And so this leads to the third type of debt. And this is sin. Now, some people don't like that word, and some people get confused about it. And if you start talking to someone about sin, you'll see whether God is working in their heart or not. But anyway, it's a word that, like I say, not many people like. But sin is an immoral act or thought or omission. and considered to be a transgression against the divine law God. So we need to be serious about it. I have a huge debt of sin towards Lord God, and yet he paid for it on the cross. Okay? And no amount of time or government agreement can sort this out. CAP, Christians Against Poverty, is useless against sin. We can help with the finances. We can help with loving people. We can help with practical help. But I've got no answer for sin except Jesus Christ and his atonement on the cross. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That he came from heaven to help me and to help you and to help us. So this week, I hired a car for household jobs. And during the week, I received two text messages, which confused me. Doesn't take a lot to confuse me anyway. One suggested I use their app on my phone and go directly to the car and open it using my mobile phone. So that's 21st century stuff, isn't it? The second message invited me to go to their hire garage and see one of their employees who will greet me at their offices and show me what to do. So I chose the latter. And it was a nice chap, and we got the car and did what we did. So I hired a car, went on a journey, and did what I did. So just imagine that if you're on a journey and you're going to an important destination and you come to a fork in the road, right? In front of you are two prophets. Okay? On this side, just because it's this side, there's a prophet, but the prophet's dead. Okay? Don't know how you know he's a prophet, but there's a dead prophet there. On this side, there's a prophet. And he's alive, and he's got his arms open, and he's welcoming you. Which way do you go? This way, of course. Anyway, I'm not sure anyone would actually get any advice from a dead prophet, but some do, and some of our clients do, but we're trying to get them to see that Jesus Christ is alive and cares for them, and he's the only answer for the third set in sin. So no one comes to the Father except through him, through Jesus Christ. And our second Bible reading makes this clear from Colossians, that if you were dead in your trespass or debt and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven all your trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against you with all its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame by triumphing on the cross. There's something to celebrate, isn't it? It's something to know and it's something to live by, isn't it? Only God's scheme of Jesus' atonement in the cross will do. Nothing else will do. Jesus is the way. He's not a dead prophet or religion, and man's intellect won't help either. And when we have faith and accept Jesus into our lives by repentance and baptism, we are safe. We can worship in spirit and truth. We are given the abundant life, the Holy Spirit, and the shepherd's promises. So let's think about this, especially as we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper and communion soon. But before we do that, let's get back to the jobbing crew. Okay? So what might this story tell about the inspector and show us about our thinking? The road worker should have made a good, consistent job, but the inspector was part-time, so the work was shoddy and not fit for purpose when the inspector wasn't there. Is our God, or your God, like the inspector, part-time? Or do we think of God as a policeman in the sky, only needed in emergencies? How do you think about the Lord God? He's holy, almighty, powerful, and all-knowing. And he is. However, he's not an I told you so kind of God, which is great for me, actually. So he's a come here. I keep you safe. I keep you warm. Let me hold you. Let me heal you. I love you. I have so much for you. Trust me. I will never leave you. My grace will never end. Stay with me, kind of God. Be my friend, kind of God. as well as being holy, almighty, powerful, and all-knowing. There's only one person like that, and that's Jesus Christ. The Lord God Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are present all the time. God has promised his people that he will not leave us or forsake us. He is present in our lives and our church. God is always present, even when we sin. Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, leads us to our destination. He is present. He participates with us. He shows perseverance in his grace and love and mercy. So this makes God's project, the church, perfect. There we go. John's got a perfect church. We are a perfect church. You can have a think about that. Unlike the previous roadworks in Crewe, because God is with us all the time, isn't he? He will succeed. So we know God loves us and he died for us while we're still sinners. But he stays with us. He doesn't just meet us on the foot with welcoming hands. He gives us the Holy Spirit and journeys with us. So that's great, isn't it? His love and faithfulness removes the fear of judgment. And he also removes the fear of sharing our faith with other people in quite a hostile environment at the moment. So I just want to just read a passage from this book. I'm reading the book on poverty. And it says here, the ideal handbook for churches seeking to welcome and be open to all. So it's quite a good book, isn't it? So this quote is from Sam Wells, and he's the vicar of St. Martin's in the Fields in Trafalgar Square. And I've been there a few times for their services. I also go when we're down there evangelising in the past for their concerts, their dinner time concerts. Last one was Vivaldi and the Four Seasons. It was totally different to my previous concerts, which was the rock group Whitesnake and The Who. But there we go. It was brilliant. I enjoyed it. Anyway, Sam Wells, the vicar of St. Martin's in the Fields at Trafalgar Square, in his lecture, What is Wrong with Poverty, has argued that addressing of poverty is not to be best understood as being about overcoming someone else's limitations, but about overcoming isolation and about communion. He urges the church not to think of itself as being for the people, but about being with them. Just as God is not only on our side, but became to be with us, Emmanuel, the incarnation of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So we want God to be with us in our church gatherings, in our ministry. So we have had a look at the three types of debt. The third one only has one answer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by faith makes us alive and forgiving us all our trespass by cancelling the record of debt of sin against us. Then by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is always present, participates in our life and our church and our community, and preserves us in mercy in our journey of life, the abundant life he gives us. So then let's end this and go to communion. So do remember Jesus Christ, his deep love for you and for us and for all the people around us. So don't be afraid about sharing what he's done for you with others. And be thankful that Jesus came so that we could live a life of poverty. He came for a life of pain, of misunderstanding, of temptation for us, for you. So believe him. Do. Okay? Bless you. So it's over to John now.